Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we'll hear all sorts of sounds and stories, including about protests that have been going on every Tuesday at Representative Paul Tonko's office in Albany over his environmental stances. Progressives don't think he's doing enough to stop climate change. And we'll also hear about bio art and the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, plus brand new music out today from Six Organs of Admittance. That's Ben Chasney on guitar there. And more on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. It all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network.
Is a safe space for young women in grades 8 through 12 to meet at TSL every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. beginning December 6th. Our focus is growing strong and healthy whole beings within the context of community. As we learn what it takes to be memorable leaders in our community, we will be enjoying local foods, expressing hair art, singing, dancing, and moving to a collective body of music and sound. Want to take it up a notch? We will be learning proper sexual health, holistic remedies, and medicinal herbs. Let us be unstoppable. Information on how to get involved is available at wisebodies.org. See you there!
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You have tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre. Sam Rawdeans is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Catskill Village Board June 23rd received a report from the Catskill Housing Authority as the Hoppenose Rehabilitation Project moves forward with developer interviews. Housing Authority Board of Directors Chair Patrick Hernandez and Authority Director Timothy Mattis said four potential vendors have applied to lead the development project. The authority is looking to renovate the existing Hoppenose housing and build new affordable housing as well. Candidate interviews are slated to begin next week, and a selection is expected to be made by the end of July, Mattis said. The four developers under consideration are Edgemere Development Incorporated of Rochester, Smith and Henze Advisory Group of Amityville, Conifer Realty of Rochester, and NBG Development of Woodbury. Hernandez said the project discussions include the possibility of building a YMCA-type community center in Catskill as well. Quote, Columbia and Greene counties both are areas where the state would like to see and is very motivated to invest money from these low-income housing tax credit projects because there hasn't been any in these areas, unquote, Mattis said. Quote, there is a shortage of affordable housing. There hasn't been a tax credit project, unquote. Hoppenose, a federally funded housing development, was constructed in 1956 and consists of 80 units with more than 150 residents. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Macco is reporting for Porcupine Soup, but the nonprofit organization Catskill Wheelhouse is poised to launch its new community school in September 2021. The school will offer a program for toddlers, preschool program for 3- and 4-year-olds, and an elementary program for students in kindergarten through 5th grade. Full-day programming will run from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday. The launch of the school was initially planned for 2022, but elementary school director Alana Novitsky said the COVID pandemic, quote, led many people to reflect on what is really important in education and to think carefully about how they and their children are spending their days, unquote. Catskill Wheelhouse, a progressive school, was founded in 2015 as a parent cooperative preschool. A combination of factors, Novitsky said, led them to Cairo for the location of the community school. The school welcomes families of all racial, cultural, linguistic, religious, and ethnic backgrounds, of all gender expressions, sexual orientations, and family structures. Quote, in terms of curriculum, we will be using New York State learning standards as a reference point for our curriculum development, but we'll address the topics in the learning standards through hands-on, integrated, project-based curriculum, unquote, Novitsky said. This fall, the community school will be able to accommodate 8 2-year-olds, 12 preschoolers, 8 children in K-2 mixed age group, and another 8 in a mixed group of grades 3-5. Quote, we have expansion plans in subsequent years, unquote, Novitsky noted. Tuition is offered on a sliding scale. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Rachel Silberstein is reporting for the Times Union that Rensselaer Polytech Institute President Shirley Ann Jackson announced June 25th she will retire next year after more than 20 years at the Troy Institution. Hired in 1999, Jackson is one of RPI's longest-serving leaders. Her retirement is effective July 1st, 2022. She wrote in a memo to faculty and families. Jackson, 74, is a physicist. She formerly served as the head of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and she was the first African-American woman to earn a doctorate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Jackson was awarded a National Medal of Science for her work that eventually led to the invention of the portable fax machine, touch-tone phones, solar cells, fiber-optic cables, and caller ID. During her tenure, RPI saw a record number of student applicants and added a Center for Biotechnology and Interdisciplinary Studies. The Curtis R. Priam Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center, or MPAC, the East Campus Athletic Village, and the Center for Computational Innovations. Jackson is one of the highest-paid university presidents in the country, earning a salary of $5.8 million in recent years. Her top-down management style has been a source of contention among students as well as some dissident alumni and donors. For years, Jackson has been criticized by civil liberty groups who accuse her administration of aggressively working to quell dissent and free speech among students and faculty. The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, a Philadelphia-based nonprofit group that promotes civil liberties on college campuses, has included RPI on its list of 10 worst campuses for freedom of expression. The school's succession plan was not immediately known. Read more about the story in the Times Union, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. A new outdoor summer concert series in the town of Greenville begins on July 6th, and it's listed in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. WGXC volunteer programmer Brad Monkel helped put together the series that runs July 6th through August 17th and includes jazz, bluegrass, and rock bands. The Michael Benedict Quartet starts things off on Tuesday, July 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. They're performing in Veterans Park, which is at the corners of Route 32 and 81 in Greenville. That's the Michael Benedict Quartet, Tuesday, July 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Veterans Park in Greenville. You can find out more at WGXC.org in the community calendar. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 87 and a low around 70. Monday is also warm with a high near 90 and a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms between 2 and 5 p.m. Monday night, again, there's a 20% chance of rain between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 70. Tuesday, there's a 50% chance of isolated showers, then scattered showers and possibly thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 88 and a low around 68. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
This island, I could bring my little jazzo blaster. There's more to life than this, but then we'd have to rush back to the town's first baker to gather.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm going into fifth grade, and I'm from Hudson.
Woo! Yeah, end of school year. Congrats. You made it.
Thank you.
Georgia and I are here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate. I'll let you do it because I'm nice.
And bookish things, of course. And we're often joined by our friends, but this week we're just the two of us, just us two friends.
Jada, aka AJ, Mashuda, Fatia, Amelia, Lena. Mm-hmm. That's it? Oh, that's five people. Okay, that's actually more than I thought.
Yeah.
More, but less than I thought. It's both at the same time. In numbers, it's more. In people, it's less. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I can describe that.
Well, I will start off talking about a book that is coming out next month in July. And I know I haven't read it, first of all. But I know that Georgia is going to be really excited about this book. And I don't know if you know what's happening, because it's by one of your favorite authors. There's a fourth book in Kayla Miller's Click series coming out. And it's called Clash. And
thank you so much, Emily. Thank you.
Virtually
hugging you.
Yahoo!
So I'll read the description for this, and then maybe Georgia can talk a little bit about what the series is like, because I've only read one of the books so far. Okay, so it's called Clash, and here's the description. Kayla Miller, the New York Times bestselling author, illustrator of Click, Camp, and Act, returns with the next chapter of Olive's story, tackling new friendships, middle school conflicts, and the importance of empathy. Olive meets Natasha. There's a new kid in town. From the moment Natasha sets foot in class, it's clear she's one of the coolest kids in sixth grade. Everyone wants to be her friend, including Olive, but things might not be so easy. Olive tries her best to befriend Nat, but it seems like the only thing they have in common is that they both want to hang out with Olive's friends. Watching as Natasha gets closer with some of her best buds, Olive can't help but worry that they're starting to like Nat more than they like her. And who could blame them? Nat is just that cool. And Olive is, well, just Olive. The New York Times bestselling author, illustrator, Kayla Miller, delivers a nuanced look at navigating middle school friendships and the importance of both empathy and respect. And that is scheduled to release on July 20th. So just a few weeks away.
I can't wait. And
so can you tell our listeners a little bit about that series?
So with the series, it is about a character named Olive, and there are three other books in the series. The first one is Click, the second one is Camp, and the third one is Act. My favorite book in the series is Act. This is just my opinion. This isn't a fact or anything, but this is definitely my opinion. The books definitely get better as the series go on. Click is my least favorite. I'd give Click a 7 out of 10 rating, probably. Then Camp, a 9 out of 10. And then Act, probably a 10 out of 10. Or like 9.9 out of 10.
Maybe That's... Clash will be a 10.
Maybe Clash will be like an 11.
What? That's off the scale.
Exactly. It'll be that good.
I hope so.
So the books are really good, and I'd recommend the series for kids probably 8 to, I think it'd be an interest of kids probably 8 to 11. I would say, usually say like 8 to everywhere, but I mean, it's not really of interest of teenagers. I think it's best for probably kids. Actually, probably more like 7 to 11. But it's a really good series, and I would definitely recommend it. The series altogether, I'd probably rate a 9.5 out of 10. It's a really good series. So read it.
Yay.
And then when you're done reading it, read the new one when it comes out.
We'll do.
I'm not going to make you read it before it comes out, because I'd be asking you to do the impossible. But if I was able to ask to do the impossible, I'd ask for Kayla Miller to come to my house and drop off a copy of the new one for me. I'd also ask Shane and Hale the same. And I'd probably ask Lizzo, Dua Lipa, and all my favorite pop stars to drop by too. I'd probably be like, can you just call up Lizzo, Dua Lipa, the Kids Bop Kids, the Beatles? Could you just make George and Lennon rise from their grave? I'll accept zombies. And also, could you make Joni Mitchell come over? If I could do the impossible, that'd be pretty great.
That'd be a cool party. You have like graphic novel authors, like, and illustrators, pop stars, dead and alive.
Yeah, it'd be like a meet and greet. Imagine if Paul McCartney and Lizzo did a song together. I really wonder how that would turn out.
Still time. Could happen.
It could. We'll never know. Many crazy song pairs have happened. So you never know. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a book you wanted to share today?
Sure did. It is called Furia. So this is a really good book. It is kind of a romance, but it's also a lot of girl power kind of vibe. I will read the description. Oh, and by the way, I'd rate this for people probably 11 to 19. I just read it because I didn't know what like ages it's really meant for. I mean, I did kind of find it. Well, the thing is, I found it at a bookstore. It was in the kids section, but I think they should definitely put it in the teenager. Yeah. So anyways, I'll read the description. In Rosario, Argentina, Camila Hassan leads a double life. At home, she's a careful daughter living within her mother's narrow expectations in the shadow of her soccer star brother and under the abusive rule of her short-tempered father. On the field, she is La Furia, a powerhouse of skill and talent. When her team qualifies for the South American tournament, Camila gets the chance to see just how far those talents can take her. But the path ahead isn't easy. Her parents would never allow a girl to play football, and she needs their permission to go any further. And the boy she once loved is back in town. Since he left, Diego has become an international football celebrity. But things have changed for Camila, too. She has her own passions and ambitions, and Furia cannot be denied. As her life becomes more complicated, Camila is forced to face her secrets and make her way into a world unprepared for the dreams of a girl like her. Furia is an achingly real and powerfully told story about family, identity, first love, and of course, football. It will resonate with anyone who has been told she can't have it all, especially those who have gone out to get it anyway. So, just for people who don't know, football in countries other than ours means soccer. So it's really a soccer story, not a football story.
So aside from that book reading a little bit old, because it's, you know, more of a teen book than a tween book, what did you think of it?
I am still reading it, actually. I'm about halfway through. It's a really good book. I like it. I mean, it's a little out of my comfort zone. It's not something that I'd usually read. Definitely not something I'd usually read, but it's good. I like trying new things.
Does it have a lot of sports action in it? Or is that more in the background?
A lot of it is romance, but I think it's probably because I've only read the first half. Mm-hmm. So I can't really tell you the entire kind of story review because I've only read around half of it. I'm sorry, that was not me. Just so happened that my fart keychain was seen under Furia. I think it was this one. did this.
Make it happen. I couldn't actually hear it before, but now I can.
This is the one that happened.
So why do you have a fart keychain?
My dad bought it for me as a little birthday present. I loved it.
It's funny. Do you use it often?
I was actually going to regular school, not like pod. I used to collect keychains on my backpack. I think my record number of keychains was 13. I think that's my record number. And so for 2 days, I put this on my backpack to add. And I used it for 2 days. But the problem was when we all sat and the principal or one of the teachers talked to us, it is like normal to see the principal every day. The principal office was more like a bedroom. And principal's very nice. And we just call her Jenny. And we didn't use Mrs. or Miss, just everybody. Is very casual school. I loved it. And so I had this on my backpack. And the thing is, whatever is the end of the day, we call it closing or dismissal, teacher would read a book to us or talk to us. And usually during that period, it usually lasted about 5 minutes or more like 10. It's just like while everybody started to leave. So what's so funny is I had this on my backpack. I sat on my backpack during that time. And for the 2 days that I had this on, I took it off because everybody kept staring at me. Sorry. It kept sounding like I kept farting. So it, for example, I go, and everybody would stare at me and then resume. And so I was just kind of fed up with everybody thinking that I fart was nonstop farting for 2 days. So I just kept it at home. And my little sister started playing with it. And then she spilled water on it and got that greasy. And now it's never going back. And then the part that actually attaches it to your backpack got ripped off. I think it actually might have been me. I think I like stepped on it or something. I think like my sister left it on the floor or something. And I stepped on it. So that is actually totally my fault. I just stepped on it and I heard a little. Don't worry
about it.
Well, I actually did hear, but I heard a and at the same time. And I was like, ooh, that's funky. And I looked. And yeah.
Good to know.
This is my version of a whoopee cushion. I've never actually used a real whoopee cushion before. This is shaped like a whoopee cushion. I'm gonna probably stop talking about whoopee cushions and fake farts.
That's a bookish thing. Because it was under your book, you know.
Yeah, related. He's under a bookish thing.
Well, moving on, I just wanted to note that the library is going to be kicking off our summer reading program soon. And as part of that, we're going to have summer reading backpacks that kids and tweens and teens can pick up at the library. And it'll have activities and craft supplies, and kids can pick out some books as well to keep.
When?
We're starting those in July.
And we can
July
just like, pick it up, just come in, no notice, pick it up or call.
Yeah, you'll be able to just come in and pick it up starting July 6th. We're also going to be at the Talk, Read, Sing Columbia end of school picnic on June 29th at Charles Williams Park. And we'll have some bags there as well. So that'll be at 4:00 on Tuesday, June 29th, Charles Williams Park. There'll be games and food, fun times. I love giving away free books. I mean, we give away free books at the library every day, but usually we want them back. But these are books that kids can just keep, so that's nice.
Imagine how much money it would be to start a library where nobody had to return the books. You would have to be like a quillionaire. Like you'd have to be have a trillion quillion dollars to be able to do that.
That's why libraries are so great. I mean, I am biased, but yeah, I think I would definitely read a lot less books if it weren't for libraries. I love a good bookstore and I love buying books, but
me too.
I can't afford as many as I read.
Same.
Plus it would be wasteful because I don't want to keep every book that I read. I just want to read it. Most of them I read once and then I don't read them again.
So when I participated in the Hack the Library program a week or two ago, I got the chance to spend about an hour in the children's section, and man, oh man, I was back in my happy place for the first time in it in over a year. The children's section is probably my favorite place on earth. So it was just magical to be back there. Because, I mean, I've been at the library a lot the past few months, but it was more for programs, and that was all in the teen room. But I'm still more of a kids room kind of person. So I haven't really gotten to just go into the kids room and read all the chapter books. So, man, oh man, magical.
Yay.
It was just magical for me.
The feeling is mutual. We love having people back in the library. Very exciting. Yay. Did you have anything else you wanted to share with our listeners?
Well, I'm really excited because I'm going to have a new cousin within a few days. Just my grandparents are visiting from Alabama, and we're just waiting and waiting for something from my aunt. And we're really excited because she's going to have the baby really soon. I'm my new cousin. It will be the biggest age gap I've ever gone through. 10-year age gap. 10. Yeah.
That'll be fun. I love baby cousins. I love big kid cousins too.
Yeah, I love cousins.
I was somewhere in the middle of my various cousins age-wise.
On my mom's side, I'm the oldest. I have one younger cousin on my mom's side who is 3 years younger than me. And then I'll have a new one who's 10 years younger than me. And then, so I'm the oldest on my mom's side. And then on my dad's side, I'm the second youngest. The very youngest is my sister, who's 6 years younger than me. It's a pretty big age gap for sisters. It's a very big age gap for sisters. But it's not, we aren't like most siblings with that age gap. Like, we don't argue a lot. We're besties. She's my bestie. I mean, we argue sometimes. We argue. We are sisters. But she's my forever bestie.
Aw. That's sweet.
And on my dad's side, I'm the second youngest. Zay is the very youngest. Even though I'm an older sister and the oldest cousin on my mom's side, I'm used to always being the youngest at every single thing. Except for being sister. Yeah. So on my dad's side, I'm the youngest. And I have 7 cousins, all like 17 or older on my dad's side. Because my dad's the youngest sibling, and then my mom's the oldest sibling. Yeah. My dad's the youngest of 3, my mom's the oldest of 3. So, yeah. It's funny, on my dad's side, there's one cousin who we always call Meg. She's my oldest cousin. She's 22 years older than me. She's way older than me. She's 22 years older, and her full name is Megan, but everybody always calls her Meg. I call her Meg. My dad calls her Meg. We all call her Meg. And then I have another cousin on the same side who's actually her sister. But what happened was my Aunt Kathy married my Uncle Adam. I love my Uncle Adam. But he has 3 daughters, one named Paige, and then twins named Megan and Caitlin. So there's a Megan and a Meg in that family. None of us ever get confused because we never call Meg Megan ever. And we never call Megan Meg. So it's that simple. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think as we're all fans of Raina Telgemeier, we really like her book Sisters. I was thinking it'd be cool if she did a book about cousins, but I don't know what her cousin relationships were like. Yeah. Can't remember if she covers that at all in any of her books.
I wish that she'd do more of the Smile Enterprise. I really want to learn about what it's like for her in high school. I wish she released like a high school one.
Oh, that would be cool.
I also wish that Shane and Hay would do the same. Wait, she did the same. She's doing that for middle school. And then hopefully she'll do a high school one too. A woo woo.
It's a cool noise. She got that on a keychain.
A woot woot.
Yeah.
A woot woot. That's my very, very excited. Well, when I'm very, very, very excited, my face goes like this. And then I start jumping and screaming.
Which in radio land sounds like a woot woot.
Yeah.
Since facial expressions don't normally make noise.
Yeah.
But anyways, on that note, while we're excited, we'll say goodbye to everyone. We hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Me ton. Man, you said before I could.
We'll be back next week to talk about, some more
books and bookish things. Yeah.
Until
then, happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Now joining us via phone is Jack Mabb, the Director of Health for Columbia County. Jack, how are you doing today?
Actually, I'm doing quite well considering the numbers that we received this week, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. I think you have a big announcement. We have a drum roll here.
Well, and fireworks. I expect So, as you know, the president set the goal of 70% by July. As you may know, too, that we're not going to make it as a nation. But this past week, Columbia County hit 71.4% of folks 18 plus in the population. So we've hit the mark. It feels good. You know, the governor did a lot of fireworks across the state when he announced that the state had hit 70%. As I told a local paper, I'd like to do fireworks right in the parking lot, but I don't think I can. It's a great accomplishment.
Well, there's going to be fireworks in a week or two, right?
Yeah. We'll just co-opt them. Yeah.
Yes. So did you think that this would ever happen?
Well, yes. The short answer is I did think it would happen. I didn't think we would make it by July 4th. And I think this has to, this is, the health department certainly has been busy vaccinating people and doing community, small community pods and here at our clinic. But I think a large percent of these folks that have gotten vaccinated, and again, these are folks over 18, I think they've gone to pharmacies and perhaps the mass vac sites are closing down. So I think it's the pharmacies, using the pharmacies and our department. So it happened a lot sooner than I thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it in the big sense of history, I don't know how many years they worked on a polio vaccine. I mean, it's just a kind of amazing that a vaccine was created this quickly and has been so effective.
I would agree with that. And I think a lot of the folks that have been hesitant, the vaccine hesitant folks, say that they moved it too quickly. And my response is, but if you go back to the history of all the vaccines that we've had, they just didn't have the technology that we have now. And you would expect that technology of today would be able to make it happen a lot quicker.
Yeah, are you getting people, you know, there have been people that have like, oh, it happened too quickly. I'm going to wait and see to get my vaccine to see if people are okay. And, you know, people have been getting vaccines since late December, and people are pretty much okay. The number of cases of people getting a vaccine and having an adverse reaction are extremely rare. Is that correct?
Very, very rare. Over the course of our time at the college, where we did our big pods and we did almost 20,000 shots, we had a handful of people that had what we'd call an allergic reaction, some of which was anxiety. So it wasn't even a reaction to the shot. And, you know, of course, there are side effects to the shots that, you know, we've made sure people were aware of in terms of, you know, the day, especially the second shot. And, you know, a fair number of the staff here got our second shots. I didn't have a great time of it the day after I got my shot, but by the second day I was in good shape.
Yeah, you almost need to be giving out sugar pills or something, right? Because I bet, I think the first shot I got, I probably thought things were going on. I think a lot of it was probably in my head. And a lot of this, I mean, we're definitely seeing there's mental health issues all over the country. I mean, just if you look at sports, the sports people are not playing as well as they, you know, generally as well as they did in other years. And the amount of stuff on airlines, and there's just mental health issues everywhere. I don't know. I'm getting off track, I guess, a little bit, but it seems like this is all tied in together somehow.
Well, and I would agree with that. I think it's been a tough time for everybody, and people are tired of masks. I'm glad we were able to get rid of them. On the other hand, you point out the stuff on the airlines. The federal government requires masks on airplanes. And you still have people who are fighting and getting arrested. There was a report this morning of a woman who got arrested and charged with resisting arrest and whatever. And you just have to wear your mask. You just have to put it on. It'll go away in time. And on the plus side, we had a run of 4 days up until yesterday where we had zero positives. Yesterday we had one positive. This morning we had zero positives again. And so we flattened this thing out in Columbia County, and I attribute it to, yes, people say it was the summer months when we're outside more, but I really think this flattening out that we've done here is all about the vaccine, and it's all about 71.4%.
Are you concerned about this new, what is it called, the Delta variant? It seems like it's super contagious, and if there's just groups now that are not vaccinated and they're similar and they're hanging out together, do we have a possibility of this sort of minor crisis among the unvaccinated?
Well, we are. The CDC is predicting a small surge in the fall when we go back inside and we start interacting more. And it's going to affect younger people who aren't getting the shot. The last statistics I saw was that folks 24 to 44, it's about 33%, have gotten the shot. And so it is that population. When you look at our 71.4%, it's 18 and above. We've got to get to the younger people, not just down to age 12, but also that 18 to 40 that's just not going out and getting a shot. And I've heard from a lot of them that they're not. They say, I'm not really opposed to the vaccine, but I just don't think I'll get that sick even if I get COVID. And I think that's not a good way to be thinking.
Yeah, so it's not so well. It's kind of good news if it's not so much like anti-vaccine, but it's more sort of general normal youth laziness.
Well, this morning
you're not going to say
CDC
that.
CDC came out with a survey that reported that 21% of Americans say they will never get the vaccine. So I think that it's probably higher down south. They seem to have a harder time getting people vaccinated. But if we hold that to be true here in Columbia County, then the best we're going to do is somewhere around 78% of the population getting vaccinated. And by the numbers, that's about 4,000 people. So as far as my staff's concerned, and we're concerned down here, is we've got some work to do. We've got some people we can still get shots in arms with, particularly the younger people, even the students that are down to 12 and whatever. And so we're going to keep doing it, but 20% of the population is not going to get the shot. Those are the people that are going to be most affected by a resurgence of this thing.
And just by definition, the people that are unvaccinated now that aren't the hardcore 21% are just going to be more difficult to get vaccinated because they weren't the ones jumping in line first to get at the head of the line. They're just not that kind of personality, sort of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You kind of have to go where they are. I know a lot of, across the country, a lot of local health departments are teaming up with breweries and things like that just to be where the young people are, to try to get them in. And I think that's very true. You have to go where they are. You have to make it so convenient I can just go by here and grab a J&J shot and I'm done with it. So I think that's what we're working at. But you can't get much more convenient than going to a pharmacy. But we're trying to do it out in the community. We're trying to be there where people are.
And the big selling point seems to me, in our household we have one person. Who is a young person who just was in the last group that was allowed to get the vaccine. And we're waiting. She's got a couple more days before it's the 2-week period after her second shot. So basically after Saturday, when that comes, life in our household resumes to pretty much the way it was before the pandemic.
Yeah. My grandchildren just received their second shots yesterday afternoon. So I've got 2 weeks to wait, and they were very anxious to get the shots. They just wanted to be done with it. And you're right. Things can resume to some sense of normalcy
people
who are vaccinated.
The only thing you have to do is you have to, if you've gone the 2 weeks after your second shot or you've had the Johnson & Johnson, is wear a mask sometimes if it's required, by the circumstance. You're on a plane, you're in a business that requires it. That's basically the only measure you need to take once you're fully vaccinated. Is that correct?
Well, I think that that's generally true. There are going to be businesses that require it. Obviously, the airlines are going to continue to require it until the feds tell them they don't have to. We're waiting to see what the governor does with the fall when it comes to school, whether or not masks are going to be still required. We're sort of ending the year out with the kids still wearing masks in the school. But the fall should be interesting. I don't envision the governor making the COVID shot mandatory for school-age kids. I think there's a pretty fair chance he'll make it mandatory for all college students to attend SUNY programs. We've had conversations with the college about, in fact, having a pod over there for their students in August. Actually, late July is where they want it, so that the kids can get two shots. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be those places where it's required. And I saw a statistic that 530-some U.S. schools across the nation as of this week, these are universities, are requiring the kids get the shot. So I think I think the state SUNY system will probably follow suit.
Is there a group? I mean, this is pretty small sample size stuff, but is there a group that is not getting the COVID-19 vaccine, but is getting their children vaccinated for other things that they need to? What do schools require vaccination-wise other than COVID-19?
Well, schools actually require all vaccines. It was 2 years ago when they did away with the religious exemption. There are some medical exemptions that are left, but it's pretty stringent. And yes, that summer, that before school started, we had a lot of parents bringing their kids here. Parents who self-identified as being anti-vaxxers who nonetheless got their kids vaccinated because they had no choice as far as sending them to school. And in Columbia County, our unique place for that is around the Hawthorne Valley School. There's a lot of folks out there who there are folks out there who are okay with vaccinations, but there seems to be a higher percentage around Hawthorne Valley that don't want their kids to be vaccinated, but nonetheless came in here and got vaccinated because they didn't really feel they had a choice.
And what do kids get vaccinated for these days? Because I'm not sure I realize.
Measles, mumps, tetanus, rubella. It's just that usual school collection of shots. And then when they hit 10 or 11, it's the human HPV shot.
And then tetanus is also adults, because that you need to get that updated every so often.
10 years.
Yeah, and do it.
10 years, unless you've had a serious accident that involved a lot of damage to tissue that might have exposed you to the tetanus bacilla. But it's generally 10 years. And again, we are getting folks starting now. It'll get heavier for us as the summer progresses. We're bringing their children in here to get vaccinated for school. And we'll, of course, offer them the COVID shot if they want it or if they haven't had it yet. But we certainly, I would say we run our clinic on Tuesdays from 1 to 4. The third Tuesday we stay to 6 to make it easy for folks who have to work. And we have increased, we've added another day, Thursdays, from 1 to 4, because we're getting a good response here. People who, even though theoretically going to a pharmacy seems a little easier than coming to the health department, they've told us that they want to come here because we are like a doctor's office. You know, they're getting a shot from a nurse who's had a lot of training and has done a lot of, certainly all of our nurses have given a lot of vaccines over the last 6 months, and they just felt more comfortable in our setting. So we've added another day on Thursday, and while appointments are preferred on our end, just so we can keep track of things, we do take walk-ups. People can come here and get their COVID shot. And parents can come here and get the shots that their kids need for school.
So is that the easiest thing right now, coming to the Columbia County Department of Health on Tuesdays and Thursdays, getting a shot? Do you need an appointment? Is that the easiest way, or are there even easier ways to get vaccinated?
Well, I think that the way things are now for the pharmacies, they do walk-ins. Where you can just walk in the door and get a shot. It's the pharmacists that are doing it. They might be busy. They might be out to lunch or whatever. If they make an appointment at a pharmacy, if they make an appointment with us, they're going to be guaranteed If they walk in here, we've got, you know, 5-6 nurses who are generally always available. So if they walk in here, they're going to get a shot.
All right. Well, this is all great news. Is there anything else you really want to make sure people know about?
Well, we're going to be in the today from 12 to 1:30. We're going to be in 7th Street Park. A couple of our nurses are going up there, and people can grab a vaccine. We're up there with Greener Pathways, who are going to be doing Narcan trainings and handing out Narcan. So we're both up there together. So I'd be glad to have folks come by. And I think that as far as the folks out there who have children that they would like to get vaccinated but haven't had a chance to do that, they can certainly come to the clinics. We are in conversation with the school districts about holding some events later on in August. So before the school year starts, we can do that. And I should also say that, you know, the county, like, there's been a very large grant that came in from the CDC. Columbia County is getting $1.5 million to surveil for COVID in schools. We've decided to partner with the Questar here. So this is going to be something that's going to be happening in September, where they're just going to be testing students on a random basis just to see what the prevalence of the virus is in the school district. And one of the other changes this is a very positive thing, and school district superintendents have described it as a game changer, is that we're going to be able to do point of care testing, which means if your child comes to this nurse's office complaining of a sore throat and a headache, we can test them on the spot. We're going to have the equipment there to test them on the spot rather than send them home and tell the parents to get a COVID test. We don't have to send the siblings home, which is what we had to do this whole past year. I think that's going to change things a lot in the schools. I think that's a very positive thing, and I'm very pleased that we can offer that.
And it seems like that's money well spent. It seems like, you know, like the initial battleground for this was in the nursing homes, and then the secondary was like family gatherings and small gatherings. And now in September, it's going to be the biggest place where you have a lot of people that aren't vaccinated are going to be the schools, probably, right?
Yeah. We probably won't be doing under 12. So a lot of the elementary kids will not be vaccinated probably until early 2022.
You think it's going to be that long before under 12 gets approval?
Yeah. Well, it could be late fall, early winter. The latest I've seen is if they're predicting early 2022. So the ability to not send the child home and test them on the spot, it changed. It was so disruptive this past school year. You know, I experienced it with my son and my grandkids, and I know every parent out there that's listening experienced it. I think that's going to be, as you said, money well spent.
Because testing and masks are the only thing you can do without vaccines for under 12, right? I mean,
Yeah, and social distancing. They've cut the distance in the classroom to 3 feet, but there still is a social distancing that will happen in the fall when we go back to school.
And of course, that's the most difficult with elementary school kids, right?
Yeah.
Keeping them apart.
The superintendents report that the elementary school kids are fairly compliant. It's the middle school kids that are difficult to deal with.
Well, I guess the middle school is always where you were most rambunctious, I think.